So I've titled the message this morning, Amazing Love. I have a question for you. What would you do for someone you love? I heard a story many years ago about a small boy who had a sister in the hospital, and she needed a blood transfusion. His sister had a rare blood type, and they were out of that blood type. It wasn't available. And somehow it was known that this her big brother, who's a little boy, had the same blood type as well. So the doctors approached little Tommy and asked him if he would be willing to give his little sister blood. Little Tommy's eyes got big and he hid his face in his hands for what seemed an embarrassingly long time. Finally, Timmy agreed, and they strapped him to the gurney and wheeled him into the operating room next to his sister. After the nurse found the vein and the blood began to flow into the bag, little Timmy looked up with tears in his eyes as he looked into the doctor's face and asked, "How long before I die?" That's a very touching story, whether it's true or not, but I don't know. But what if things were turned around? And the person in the operating room isn't the little sister, but he's the man that just killed little Timmy's whole family. And he needs a blood transfusion. And little Timmy is the only one that has that type of blood available right now to save this man's life. And little Timmy said, yes. Same circumstance. That would be over and above what we just heard in the first story, wouldn't it? That would be an amazing act of love. So I'm going to read Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's us, my brothers and sisters. That's us. We were the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. There are people that will die for others. But it's rare, right? But God, and there's a but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So something's happened there in this whole equation. We were enemies. Christ died for us. But now that we are reconciled to him, we're no longer his enemies. And because of this, because we've been reconciled, we even have a greater assurance of salvation. And Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So I want to look at some tests and indicators and things to look for that we have, that there's been an exchange here, that we were enemies, but now we are friends. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I now call you friends. What happened there? What made the difference between being servants before, or even enemies, and then being called friends? And here's another indicator that there's something has happened in a person's life. In order for them to become a friend of God, 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life. There it is. There's a passage we must take. From death unto life. And we know that we have gone through that passage because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God. Perceive, like we understand the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Isn't that what love is? But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So there we have an admonition there, not to, I would say, not just to speak words of love, but to actually back those things up. Actions and words make up a complete message of love, but words alone are empty without action. If a person tells you that they love you and then they just constantly hurt you and do things contrary to your well-being, why should you believe them? Would you? Or even if they say, I love you, but they're indifferent towards you, they don't really want to have anything to do with you. Is that love? So what is love? You know, that's a question that a lot of people seem to be asking. If you're an atheist and you believe in materialism and the world always existed and no one created us, then we're a product of random chance. And there's no such thing as love. Love is not a material thing. It's simply neurons firing off in our brain, fuzzy feelings. But we who know God and have experienced the love of God know that there's something more than just neurons firing off in our brains. You know, in a world where people are questioning their gender, what gender they are, you can't get your definition from a world like that of what love truly is. The Bible teaches us that God made the world. God made man and in his image, gave him a beautiful place to live, gave him an opportunity to walk with him, to know him. And then it tells about the fall, rebellion against God. And then it speaks of the redemption that God was promising through the Savior and that he would bring us back into a relationship with him. And the Bible's one big storybook about how God is accomplishing and has accomplished and will continue to accomplish his ultimate plan, bringing us back into a relationship with him so that God can dwell with us like he did in the garden in an even greater way, I believe. 1 John 3:7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. There's a lot in that, in those two verses there. The first thing I want to notice is that the Apostle John is telling us, let no man deceive you. So it tells us that we have a choice in this matter. We don't automatically, if the devil comes in all his power and tries to deceive us, then we don't automatically fall under his power. But we have to actually allow him to deceive us, because he's saying, little children, let no man deceive you. And here's the test. Do we actually believe God? Believe his word? Because he gives us the criteria. A righteous man does righteous things. Just like Jesus said, a good tree produces good fruit. An evil tree produces this evil fruit. But if we refuse to believe that and we say, well, you know, in this circumstance, it's different, or we make excuses, or we don't listen to that, then that's how people get caught up in different cults and following people who say they're even Jesus and doing horrible things. Because they have allowed the devil to deceive them. Why not? Believing God and taking him at his word. If we love the truth, then God will reveal the truth to us. I believe that. Here's the truth about what love really is. And as I read these words, imagine what Jesus said and what he did and what he endured. This is 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So here's the definition of love here. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Charity never fails, though. And I want to go to that most famous verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to look at that verse again in light of what love does. It's an action word. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Love is an action word. Love isn't just a word. It's an action. Love gives. And Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive because you're loving. You're being like God. You're being godly. And that's what God does. God gives. And Jesus said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know one to another. Love isn't about just feelings. It's about benefit of another. Love does what's best for others. Even in the Old Testament, there was a principle. Leviticus 19 thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him, not allow sin to stay on him. Verse 18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. So here we see that in Leviticus, this indifference towards our brother, and that we wouldn't bother to rebuke him, or our neighbor here, that we would allow sin or suffer sin to just stay on him, that is hatred. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Because so that indifference that I don't care about him is really hatred. But we're admonished to rebuke him. And it says in another place that open rebuke is better than secret love. So let there be no question, let there be no doubt in our own hearts. In that 1 John passage somewhere, it talked about that the idea was that when we love the brethren, and that love is shed abroad in our hearts, that's going to remove any kind of doubt that we are a believer. When that love is shed abroad in our hearts, when we're loving each other, like God told us we need to, like Jesus commanded us to. And so let there be no doubt, let there be no question, but let us love one another and keep his commandments.